Hackers made a blood sport of hacking anyone and anything in Ukraine with a digital pulse. For 5 long years, they shelled Ukrainians with thousands of cyber attacks a day and scanned the country's networks incessantly for signs of weakness: a weak password, a misplaced zero, pirated and unpatched software, a hastily erected firewall. Anything that could be exploited for digital mayhem. Anything to sow discord and undermine Ukraine's pro-Western leadership. Putin laid down only 2 rules for Russia's hackers. First, no hacking inside the motherland. And second, when the Kremlin calls in a favor, you do whatever it asks. Otherwise, hackers had full autonomy. And oh, how Putin loved them. Russian hackers are like artists who wake up in the morning in a good mood and start painting, Putin told a gaggle of reporters in June 2017, just 3 weeks before his hackers laid waste to Ukraine's systems. If they have patriotic leanings, they may try to add their contribution to the fight against those who speak badly about Russia. Ukraine had become their digital test kitchen, a smoldering hellscape where they could test out every hacking trick and tool in Russia's digital arsenal without fear of reprisal. In the first year, 2014 alone, Russia's state media and trolls barraged Ukraine's presidential election with a disinformation campaign that alternately blamed the country's mass pro-Western uprisings on an illegal coup, a military junta, or deep states in America and Europe. Hackers stole campaign emails, prowled for voter data, infiltrated Ukraine's election authority, deleted files, and implanted malware in the country's election reporting system that would have claimed victory for a far-right fringe candidate. Ukrainians discovered the plot just before the results were reported to Ukraine's media. Election security experts called it the most brazen attempt to manipulate a national election in history. In retrospect, this should have all set off louder alarm bells in the United States. But in 2014, Americans' gaze was elsewhere. The violence in Ferguson, Missouri, the horrors of ISIS and its seeming emergence out of nowhere, and on my beat, the North Korean hack of Sony Pictures that December, when Kim Jong-un's hackers exacted revenge on the movie studio for a Seth Rogen, James Franco comedy depicting the assassination of their dear leader. North Korean hackers torched Sony's servers with code, then selectively released emails to humiliate Sony executives in an attack that offered Putin the perfect playbook for 2016. For most Americans, Ukraine still felt a world away. We caught passing glimpses of Ukrainians protesting in Independence Square, and later celebrating as a new pro-Western leadership replaced Putin's puppet. Some kept an eye on the battles in eastern Ukraine. Most can recall the Malaysian airplane, filled with Dutch passengers, that Russian separatists shot out of the sky. But had we all been paying closer attention, we might have seen the blaring red warning lights, the compromised servers in Singapore and Holland, the blackouts, the code spiking out in all directions. We might have seen that the endgame wasn't Ukraine. It was us. Russia's interference in Ukraine's 2014 elections was just the opening salvo for what would follow, a campaign of cyber aggression and destruction the world had never seen. They were stealing a page from their old Cold War playbooks. And as my taxi made its way from Boryspil to Kyiv Center, Independence Square, the bleeding heart of Ukraine's revolution, I wondered which page they might read from next, and if we'd ever get to a place where we might anticipate it. The crux of Putin's foreign policy was to undercut the West's grip on global affairs. With every hack and disinformation campaign, Putin's digital army sought to tie Russia's opponents up in their own politics and distract them from Putin's real agenda, fracturing support for Western democracy and ultimately NATO, the North Atlantic